Now in chapter 11, he says, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always." The response to the love of God is obedience, you see again. Now he talks to them about this land, because chapter 11, the promised land was not like Egypt. And he puts down the great principle of their occupancy of the land. Now, down in Egypt, it's all irrigated. But now notice what God says in verse 10. "For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs." It is irrigation, you see. "But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently to do my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil." Now, the reason that land's desolate today, as we'll see in Deuteronomy, is the judgment of God upon it. The minute you put water in that land, the desert blossoms as the rose. But it's water that it needs, and they're having trouble even today to get that water. God says you're dependent on rain from heaven, and he had blessed them if they obeyed him. You can look at the land and see the spiritual condition of the people. Now, the land they were going to was different than Egypt in many ways. The main way was, of course, that Egypt was a land that was irrigated. I was told when I was in Egypt that they have less than 1 inch of rainfall a year. And that's not much rainfall. When there's another place that I've been in, the Hawaiian Islands, and they tell us that they have over 100 inches of rainfall there. And so there's quite a difference, and there's quite a span there. But the land these people were going into was a land that'd be a little difficult to irrigate for several reasons. It's hilly, and they did not have the equipment for it in that day. And they would depend upon rain from heaven. Now, God did that purposely. I'm afraid that an affluent society, as we live in today, where things come so easy to so many people, that they assume that God hasn't anything in the world to do with it. I do not know why, but some people think if it comes easy that they do it. And if it comes hard, God must be in that. Well, God is the one that provides for our physical needs. And whether it comes easy or comes hard, he still provides it. And so here, I think he purposely put them in a land that had to depend upon him for rainfall. And it would draw the people, of course, closer to God. Now I want to drop down to verse 24. And you will have here the principle of occupancy of the land. On what basis will they occupy it? And this will come before us again in the book of Joshua. And there I'll emphasize it, but here let me just mention it. Verse 24, "Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coasts be." Now you notice the land that he's giving them is a land much greater than they've ever occupied. It was a land from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, under the uttermost sea, and that's the Mediterranean Sea, shall your coast be. So they actually went all the way from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates, and they went all the way south into that desert that they had come through, the wilderness that they had come through. Now, that is a land that is approximately 300,000 square miles. Now, they never occupied but about 30,000 of it, even at the time when the kingdom reached its zenith under David and under Solomon. And now the basis on which they will get it is this: there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord, your God, shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land, that ye shall tread upon as he hath said unto you. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread upon will be yours. Now, they never occupied very much of it, you see. It was given to them, and it was theirs, but they never enjoyed it because they didn't walk upon it. Now, God will tell Joshua when they enter the land, it's yours, it's right here before you, but you will have to go and walk up and down on it. You will have to lay hold of it. Now, there's so many Christians today sitting on the sidelines, and they are poverty-stricken spiritually. And God makes it very clear to them. He says, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Now, there are a great many folk today that are fabulously rich spiritually. In fact, all of us that are believers. But how many of us are enjoying these spiritual blessings? How many of us have made these spiritual blessings ours today? What a difference there is in believers. And this is the difference. We don't lay hold of our possessions. Now he says here, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Now notice that. I set before you this day a blessing. And a blessing, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Obedience, friends, is the very nub of the entire matter as far as they are concerned. Now, today, obedience is something that has dropped into the background. Now, I personally will not yield to any man more than the fact that I preach the grace of God, that we're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We grow by the grace of God. And we're going to get heaven by the grace of God. And when we've been there 10 million years, it'll be because of the grace of God. But friends, may I say to you, there are great spiritual blessings today that you're going to miss if you're not obedient unto Him. And we are told, if ye love me, keep my commandments. What a personal, wonderful, glorious relationship this is with God. Now he says, there'll be a blessing if you'll obey him. But notice, the other holds good too. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Now God put up before them two commandments that had to do with idolatry. And that was the grave danger of these people, and they were constantly lapsing into idolatry.